Full Service Radio is supported by Compass, the future of real estate in the Metro DC area and beyond. Discover more at compass.com.
You're tuned into Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio. Hi, you're listening to Pineapple Radio on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Atara, and I am the co-founder of Pineapple, which is an online offline community of over 60,000 women who love food just like you. So you're probably wondering what Pineapple is and what exactly we do. We do a lot of different things. In addition to this radio show, we have events all across the country in DC, New York, and San Francisco that celebrate a woman's style, identity, and values around food. We bring in our favorite cookbook authors, chefs, restaurateurs, business owners, nonprofit leaders, all to celebrate what we connect around food and to celebrate each other as well. In addition to our events, though, we have lots of really fun digital content. We have a blog series called Pine 4 Pantry, where we look into the kitchens of women we admire, which is really fun, and we bring that out once a week. You can find that by going to our website at pineapplecollaborative.com. We also have a really fun newsletter. This is probably the most exciting thing that we do, in my opinion, but it comes out once a week, and it's essentially a repository for all things women and food. So we tell you about all of the things that we're reading about, all of the podcasts we're listening to, the recipes we're cooking, the products we're using in our kitchen. It's really fun, super easy to sign up. You can do it in about 20 minutes, and it's free at pineapplecollaborative.com/join. So we're here on radio, speaking of digital content and Pineapple, talking to all of our favorite women in food. And today on our radio, we are talking about beauty as wellness, and wellness as beauty. And we have two of our favorite women that we pine for, Cindy and Carrie Lynn from Cat Beauty. They are awesome. Their business is so cool. We're really excited to talk all about beauty, wellness, and womanhood. So welcome, Cindy and Carrie Lynn. We're so happy to have you here.
So happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And so Cat Beauty is a business that we pine for. And by the way, when we say pine for, you're probably like, what does that mean if you haven't heard it before? But it's the idea that celebrating another woman or woman-led business, woman-owned company, women-made product is powerful and it creates community. This is the idea that by lifting each other up, we create community and we are much more successful together as a team. So use Pine 4, use it online. We love seeing tagged photos of Pine 4, use it in real life, which I do all the time. And usually, speaking of Pine 4, I'm usually here on the radio show talking to my co-founder, Arielle, who I pine for, but she is away, she's been away for the past 2 weeks at an awesome program with Stone Barns, learning all about climate change and food justice and the next phase of Pineapple. And we'll have a chance to catch up with her next week more about that. But typically, Arielle and I sit together each week on radio and we talk about the things that we pine for in our kitchens. But since she's not here, what we're going to do is talk to Cindy and Carrie Lynn from Cat Beauty, and we'll ask them all about what they are stocking in their kitchens. So with that, Cindy, you first. What are some products, women-made products, that you pine for in your kitchen?
Oh, the women-made one is a surprise, but I would say that I could talk a lot about the sauerkraut and fermented vegetables that I've been making. And I was going to talk about a little bit the, I've gotten these new lids that make it super simple. And it's something that I was always intimidated to do. And I spent an insane amount of money on buying jars of sauerkraut. Carrie Lynn's husband kind of led the way on this. He started making his own sauerkraut years ago. And I was always the recipient of that.
I was spending too much money on sauerkraut.
But now they live in L.A., so I don't get to eat John's sauerkraut. So I have started making it myself, and it's so life-changing and easy to do, and I encourage everybody to get into it. It's also such a beauty food. It's so important for health and wellness and feeling good and digestion, and also really connects you to just this process of creating food that's living and alive, and it also is saving me a lot of money.
I love that.
But I would definitely recommend these airlock lids that I've gotten recently. I think I bought some from a company called A Year of Plenty, and they make the process so easy, and it's almost foolproof. And
cool.
That's a big one for me.
Awesome. So A Year of Plenty jars and homemade sauerkraut.
Yeah, you buy whatever your own like wide mouth mason jars are that you like, and then these lids that fit on them that just it just makes it almost like a foolproof process, because I think it can be intimidating because people are so afraid of mold and
totally
the wrong bacteria growing. But it really is like almost nothing can go wrong when you use these, and it's really liberating and fun.
Awesome. What about you, Carrie Lynn?
So there's a hot sauce that I really love that I've only bought in New York, and it's called Boss Boss. Do you know her?
Yes, Hawa.
Oh,
I love her.
She's so amazing. We met her at the Cherry Bomb Festival, and she was just fantastic, and I'm a big hot sauce lover, and her story is so inspiring, and I was just reading about it a little bit ago, and you know, she's talking about how she wants to change the story around being a Somali refugee and turn it into a positive experience by sharing food and being a woman and a recipe from her mother that they used to eat during Ramadan. And I literally bought it from her. I emailed her and asked her for, I guess, a gallon container. It comes in these really small containers. And she showed up at my house with a huge gallon, which I'm out of. But I love that hot sauce. I also love the countertop women. They're really inspiring. Mm. I don't know if you know.
I don't know them. You should talk
to them. Yeah. I feel like you guys would really hit it off.
Cool.
They're out of L.A. One of them has a tech background. They're moms, the kind of young moms, and they're really oriented towards creating a food that is like a staple in the kitchen that can up-level your routine if you're limited on time with really beautiful sourcing and ingredients. Mm-hmm. And I think what they're doing is beautiful. They have this honey that mothers, especially mothers, love. It's a mother honey. Yeah, and that one, we just did a pop-up with our friend Erica in LA at Loom, which is a reproductive kind of empowerment center. And that honey was like the runaway success. Like everyone who tries it just falls in love with it. And I think what they're doing is really inspiring.
Awesome. I'm so excited. I'm definitely going to check them out.
It's really good.
With herbs to help with nursing.
Yeah. And it's avocado honey. It's got kind of a pungent, almost like cheesy smell to it upon smell, but the taste is quite different from the smell.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I'm going to check that out for sure.
Speaking of honey, also, we have to mention Activist, which is a new Manuka honey line that we have at CAP now. And it's really like the most beautiful family that, are they in Topanga?
Yeah.
And they are Kiwis, they're from New Zealand, and this is their their super, super active. Almost medicinally active.
Yeah, they have the highest rating.
With the best packaging ever.
Yeah, that our friend Fred and Emily did.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love Manuka honey. Can't get enough.
Theirs is unlike anything I've ever had.
It's really
had a
special.
Fair amount. It's really good. It really is medicine. I wish I had it.
And
right
it's
now.
Great for skincare as well. And
yeah.
People use it. I mean, I've heard stories of people transforming their skin by just getting rid of every other product and washing their face with Manuka.
Post sun, it's really good for if you've had too much sun or beach time. It's a really nice mask too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, as for me, I'm going to take this in a little bit of a different direction. We typically talk about things that we can consume and ingest, products that we can eat. But my pick for this week is something that I have been consuming a lot of in the kitchen, and it's actually a podcast. I listen to a lot of podcasts outside of Pineapple Radio, and I get a lot of inspiration from them. And I discovered this podcast called She's All Fat. It is really incredible. It's all about body positivity, which is an idea that I thought I knew what it was all about. I thought I knew what it meant, thought it was all about self-love. And it turns out it's actually like one of the most powerful tools for social justice. It's all about representation for marginalized bodies. So that's fat bodies, queer bodies, bodies of color, differently abled bodies, and everything in between. And it is really very inspiring. And I encourage everyone to listen to a few episodes and really hear what they're saying and learn more about body positivity. It's truly incredible. So that's She's All Fat. You can get it on any podcast app.
I live in LA now, so I'm a big consumer of podcasts. So I'm excited to add that to my lineup.
Yeah, let me know what you think.
I will, definitely.
Cool. So with that, on the subject of body positivity and women-made products in the kitchen, today on our show, I'm just going to introduce the topic and what we're here to talk about. We are going to get to know Carrie Lynn and Cindy of Cat Beauty. We're going to talk all about womanhood and food. We'll talk about their business, Cat Beauty, which we are a huge fans of. We'll talk about their content, which is amazing, their products, which are beautiful and delicious, their community that they built. We're also going to dig into their new book, which I love, High Vibrational Beauty. And then at the end, we're going to get into some juicy questions. We're going to dig into what it truly means, what beauty truly means. We're going to talk about how to embrace wellness in ourselves and in others while fighting impossible beauty standards, and also a fatphobic society and body image challenges. Big topic. And then finally, we'll talk about how we can embrace a more inclusive wellness culture, one with diverse races, bodies, genders, and ages. So, very excited to chat with each of you about those things. We're going to dive right in, okay? So first, will each of you please introduce yourselves? Tell us about your food journey. What brought you here? How did you meet each other? I love your friendship and partnership. I want to learn more about that.
Me too.
And tell us how you started Cat Beauty.
Yeah. So Carrie Lynn and I met almost 20 years ago, maybe at least 20 years ago. We both worked at Martha Stewart Living. I was a style editor at the magazine, and Carrie Lynn was a freelancer but did a lot of work in product development. And we were very aware of each other, and we noticed each other, I think, because of our similar aesthetics and similar interests. And I would say those interests really are what Cat Beauty is today, which is sort of a merging of style and lifestyle and food and wellness and self-betterment, I guess, for lack of a better word. And we both moved on to do other businesses. I was a freelance prop stylist, set designer. Carrie Lynn started a clothing company called Castor and Pollux, or a boutique. And we've remained friends, and our friendship deepened. And Carrie Lynn asked me once to join a mastermind group, which is kind of like an old school business practice of, especially in our case, especially sole proprietors who would get together and support each other and share resources and basically just be there to bounce ideas off of and help each other out. And we started this group, and really it kind of pared itself down to just three of us, Carrie Lynn and myself and our friend Camille, who's an interior designer. And we met really religiously, and Carrie Lynn came one day with the idea for Cap, and she had been selling some natural products at her store, and I basically didn't let her drop it. And then I sort of willed her to ask me to be her business partner. And that's how it happened.
I found out I had celiac, and that was kind of the gateway for me for taking a deep dive into health beyond food, and that encompassed beauty and wellness and, you know, self-care practices. And that was like the best thing that ever happened to me. I had always been vaguely sick, and it always felt kind of awful, and, you know, was told by every dermatologist that I just hadn't won the skin lottery, and like I went everywhere looking for answers. I was inflamed, I was in pain a lot, and I just kind of accepted that was, I didn't accept it, but part of me was like, oh, this is a part of being a woman in New York and having your own business, and this is how it goes. And then I had a doctor diagnose me, not an alternative doctor at all, like a really straight up doctor. Actually, Cindy's a really great doctor. And he diagnosed me, and at first it was like, oh, I can't have that. And then it was just like the skies kind of parted, and it opened up everything for me. And I started looking at everything not on a myopic level. Like at first it was like the breakdown of food, like what can I have, what can I not have,
right?
And then that just parted, and I think that it really is the approach that Cindy and I have to Cat Beauty is really the whole, you know. It's never like, we sometimes have people ask us like, what's the one product or what's the one thing, and it's like there's not one thing.
No,
right. I really wish there were, but that's a really patriarchal model that's based off of trying to sell one product. Like boardroom conference style 50s, like give her the one product that's going to make her skin glow, and like it doesn't work that way,
right?
And we're the first ones to say that, having a beauty store. It's the accumulation of consistent day-to-day efforts of what you're doing more often than not. That's where you end up,
yeah,
whether for better or worse.
And also I think like you're not as focused on what you can't have as what you can have. And that I think extends to like the beauty question of, we always get asked, what ingredients don't you sell? And like, we're not really that interested in talking about those. We're much more interested in talking about all the amazing ingredients in what we do sell.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cindy has this really great kind of analogy that she says, we don't need another study that tells us why cigarettes are bad for us. We just shouldn't smoke. We know that. So it's like, we don't need to focus on the things that are bad. Let's just focus on putting and basically flooding your body with as many things that are good, and then you'll find that place where you feel good. Not every day, but like, you know, more often than not, you will.
Right, and that's true in the kitchen and in the bathroom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So let's dig more into the motto of high vibrational beauty and your high vibrational manifesto. I loved reading about that in your book, and I want to learn more. So can you tell us what the Cat Beauty Manifesto is? What's your overarching motto on wellness and wholeness?
Yeah, I mean, it's beauty is wellness. Wellness is beauty. That's what we started with when we started, I guess, like four or 5 years ago. That was always... It's interesting, Cindy and I have like these big kind of things we put in the world, and I don't want it to sound like they're not thoughtful, but like that was always our tagline. It was like, I don't even remember really the conversation. I don't remember the conversation about Cat being our name, but they're just things that make a lot of sense. It's like, so beauty is wellness and wellness is beauty. And the concept behind that is one cannot exist well without the other.
Right.
They can exist separately, but you're not going to get to that pinnacle of feeling your best. And for us, it's all about how you feel. And then all the other stuff falls into place.
Yeah.
You know, do you feel good in your body? Great. Then you've achieved wellness.
Yeah.
Do you feel good when you're out in the world? Great. Then you've achieved wellness.
And I think it's also about creating a new paradigm for what is sometimes referred to as anti-aging.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we started CAP, the options that were before us didn't feel very modern or very interesting or relevant to either of us. And, you know, especially as like women in New York City, and there's a lot of treatments available, there's a lot of procedures that are available, and really when we looked at what that those looked like, it wasn't relevant or relatable at all. And what we find to be the most beautiful is like this true radiance. It's not about empirically perfect anything. It's about something far less definable, which is a vibrancy, a radiance, a luminosity,
and
that
energy.
You really can't get through procedure. Mm-hmm. It really comes through consistent just self-care,
right?
For lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I really admire that approach just more largely in the wellness space where, you know, it seems, you know, if you Google like wellness, you see a white woman of a certain age, a certain body type, right? And so the fact that Cat Beauty is trying to address that in a way that's like, you don't actually need to change yourself at all, you know, here are just like some, you know, ways to make yourself feel better. And that's really true wellness.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had a facial 2 days ago with Tammy Fender, who's like a pioneer in kind of what I think of as modern natural beauty. And she said to me, you're perfect just how you are. And if there's anything you do want to change, just change it. And I thought that, like, that there's so much power in that, and it's so simple and straightforward. And we tend to think of like transformation and change as being sort of this impossible goal that you just have to always be on a treadmill trying to get to.
Right.
But you can just make a decision to if there is anything you want to change, and you don't have to.
Totally. And I think as women, sometimes, you know, it's the idea that like we're always thinking about what we're eating. We fall asleep and think about like, why did I do that? Mm-hmm. Why didn't I do this? And I think the philosophy of like you wake up perfect and like maintain that, or if you don't, it's okay. There's another day ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's very powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Cool. So with that, let's talk a little bit more about food and drill down on that.
Yeah.
So the CAP grocery store is something that we have been admiring, from the products that you make to the ones that you sell. So can you tell us more about your food ethos specifically, and then more largely, how did you go about developing your products?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, we've had food in our stock, in our selection of the products we sell since we launched. And it really was second nature to us that if we are saying that beauty is a function of wellness, you can't achieve that without a dietary component and a food component. And that without being dogmatic, of course, because we don't profess to know what's right for everyone. We just know how we like to eat. And we know that there are these amazing foods available to us that do deliver incredible nutrition. They're exciting and fun and also work,
yeah,
frankly. And so that
I also think our we have a really deep interest in ritual, and with food, that's just a natural kind of partner. And so Cindy and I are people that really love the ritual, the daily rituals, and I think that's something that we bonded over, like from literally like the glasses we're drinking out of to what we're having for dinner to, you know, walking your animal, like all of those things, those practices. And I think that food, of course, just by default falls in there for
and
everyone.
Sharing. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you're less likely to share a face mask with a friend than you are a cup of tea or a great latte or a meal.
Yeah.
Totally. So what was the first food product that you released?
The one that the Cap Beauty product?
Yes. Coconut butter.
Right.
Matcha first?
Coconut butter.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Coconut butter. Let's call it coconut butter.
One or the other. Cool. They were close to each other.
I love both products.
Maybe it was coconut butter.
They go hand in hand.
But coconut butter made a lot of sense because one of the big early categories that we had were herbs and adaptogens. Yeah. And the coconut butter is such a brilliant counter. I'm not counter, but companion to those herbs because it makes such a beautiful drink.
Yeah.
It does. It has a lot of the same function as what people use Bulletproof coffee, people butter in their coffee, and this is a plant-based alternative, and it's delicious. And frankly, it's just so good.
Yeah, and it's totally also really good to put with those herbs because most of them are water-soluble, so it's actually a really beneficial fat, like Cindy was saying, and the roll is slower on the body.
Right, which is just the concept of putting butter in your coffee, but it's but without the...
Yeah, we just didn't do the butter. We went for the coconut butter, the other butter.
I love coconut butter.
Oh, my God. Ours is so good.
It is so good.
It is.
I don't want to sound like a jerk.
No, you don't, because it's absolutely true. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's literally our number one best-selling item, too.
It is so good.
So it's not just us.
It's not just us.
No, I love that. And so were there any products that you were thinking about launching with that ended up getting nixed? And if so, why?
Well, not a food product, but we thought that our first product would be a deodorant. And it's a tricky one because I think what I've learned with deodorant, and this is an important message for people, it's really important to use natural deodorant. If you do nothing else in the natural beauty realm, switch your deodorant. But I think it's important to also note that not every deodorant works for every person. And if you try one and it doesn't work for you, that doesn't mean that natural deodorant doesn't work. It means that wasn't the right one for you.
Right.
So that was a tricky product for us. As we kept developing it, we were realizing that we didn't want to launch with a product that didn't work for everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard also for natural.
Divisive.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone's used to having like Secret, which is, I mean, getting your body used to a natural deodorant after you use
it's
it is
funny
like,
in the context real. Of this conversation that it's called Secret.
Yeah. There is definitely an acclimation. Like if you go from Secret to our deodorant, I don't think it's going to work. But I think our deodorant's great, and I've used naturals for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there is like kind of it's like eating a really, 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 really poor diet and then going on a juice cleanse for 5 days. You're probably not going
to
feel so
great. Yeah, you need to,
you need to like
kind of calibrate. Yeah,
absolutely.
Totally.
Cool. So last question.
But no food products, I don't think that we've cut anything.
No.
No.
Cool.
We're just adding more.
No, that's great.
Yeah,
it makes me happy.
Yeah, we have some really good ones coming out.
Yay, cool. I'm excited. Well, so my last question about the product space in particular. So can you tell our listeners what high vibrational beauty means and why that's such a cornerstone of Cap Beauty?
Yeah, I mean, for us, that phrase is really about living at kind of literally your highest vibration. Everything has a vibration, whether you realize that or not. We recognize it on some level. When we walk into a room where somebody's had an argument, that vibration in that room isn't super, super high. You walk into a room where they're having a party, it's a different kind of vibration. Most people don't call that vibration. That's just like something they pick up on just being humans or animals. For us, it's about incorporating as many things that sit at a higher frequency in our mind that make us feel as good as possible, to use like really, really basic terms, and incorporating as many of those things into your day-to-day as possible.
I love that.
It's pretty simple. It sounds kind of like out there and a little insane to some people, but it really, it's it really is true. It's like people feel different when they walk in a CVS drugstore than they feel when they walk in Cat Beauty. We're selling the same products. Yeah.
There's more life experience.
It's just life force.
There's energy that's alive in a lot of the products we sell. I mean, it's...
You can feel it in food a lot. I think it's really relevant in food. Even if you're not like really into food sourcing or tuned into where your food comes from, there's certain foods that you look at that don't have appeal, that other ones do have appeal, and those things that are speaking to your energy.
Right. You know? I notice it in restaurants. Yeah. Like a lot of times I'll just sort of go off the menu and ask for a plate of vegetables. And when my food arrives, there's always a lot of people taking note of, you know, three people at the table with a hamburger and then my plate of vegetables arrives. And everybody looks at it and wants to know more about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had that happen at my mother-in-law's 70th birthday just two nights ago. Like I got the, you know, the veggie special that they prepared especially for me, and everybody else got like their beautiful kind of standardized things you would expect. And I was in the restroom when the food came out, and everybody was like, we wanted to switch our food with yours, you know?
Right.
Well, I love that philosophy. I think that it's so true that everything has this like life force.
I mean, you feel it in people.
Big time.
Totally.
You know, even if dogs feel it all day long. It's why some dogs like some dogs and some dogs don't like others.
Right,
like
right.
It's palpable if you recognize it.
Yeah.
Even if you're not recognizing it, it's there.
Awesome. Definitely. And so does high vibrational beauty, does that phrase have any connection to the Daily Hit? Which for our listeners is...
It doesn't.
Cat Beauty's CBD oil, which is a fantastic product that you should all try.
Isn't it great?
I love it.
It's run out of it right now. I need it so bad.
For someone who has anxiety, it is really, it's very good.
Has it been helpful?
It has been,
That's so great.
That's great.
Yeah. CBD is a really profound ingredient.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like really amazing plant medicine.
It's powerful.
Yeah, not just ours, just CBD across the board is so helpful and beneficial to so many people.
I mean, I would say we designed the Daily Hit to be more of a to work in your life more like a food product than like a supplement, because we wanted people to sort of enjoy that ritual. And I think that in that way, you know, we're just talking about this, how our book almost could have been called High Vibrational Living or High Vibrational Living and Eating. And it's so much about ritual and so much about inviting higher vibrational products and activities into your life. And I think in that way, of course, the Daily Hit fits right into that, because it is ritualistic. It's about taking care.
I love that. I am on that train for sure. Okay, cool. Well, let's kind of zoom out a little bit and talk about wellness, the culture. Let's talk about the good and the bad and the challenging. We talked a little bit about how wellness is beauty and beauty is wellness. We really love that motto at Pineapple. I think that's something that we can really embody. Can you explain a little bit more about what that truly means to you and Cat Beauty?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really is, to reference what we said earlier, they just can't live separate from each other. To have, like, to attain a level of true, quote-unquote, wellness, which is... totally know what that is, but to retain that level of feeling your best, you need both of those components to actually have a really synergistic, powerful result.
I always think of a story a friend of mine told me. She went to a wedding that some friends held, and their plan for their wedding was that everyone would go camping and then it would end with the wedding. And she told me afterwards that it was the single event she could remember of like that era when everybody's going to a lot of weddings. She said, all of the fancy weddings I went to where people spent all day at the spa getting ready and getting their makeup done and getting their hair done, she said that wedding where everybody was camping first and like living under the stars and living outdoors, and we all showed up at the wedding, and of course everybody was like a little grungy from that experience, there was more beauty at that event than at all of these kind of like slick, more urban
weddings. Makes total sense.
Weddings. And I think of that a lot when I think of beauty as wellness, and that type of beauty that you just can't get from a procedure or a treatment, that, you know, that kind of just embracing of life, embracing of health, embracing of vibration.
Yeah.
Right.
It's more like your aura, really, than anything. It's like what is radiating out to others.
I love that.
And you can see, I mean, we've all had that, like the really beautiful girl walks in the room, like empirically beautiful, but for some reason you're not totally drawn to that person. And then the woman who's not as empirically, in quotation marks, beautiful comes in and there's something really commanding about their presence. That's beauty. And yeah, that comes from being, I think, well.
Yeah.
I think you can be the most perfect specimen, but not be well and not be beautiful.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I really dig that philosophy. I think it, you know, again, like Cindy said, it goes back to the vibrations, which is all about the inner light.
Yeah.
I like that.
It also becomes attainable in a way that is realistic, but also aspirational for everyone.
Right.
It's not like, oh, I'm just giving up. I'm not going to do anything. We're not saying that. It's like, take care of yourself. Be kind. Yeah. Be well to yourself. But it makes it attainable for everyone. Because if you're not that person that is the empirically beautiful person, what are you going to go through life thinking you're not beautiful? That doesn't make any sense.
I think most people, most women do.
And I think a lot of women
actually
do. And I think for what Cindy and I believe in and what we really hope comes across with CAP is giving that power to everyone, men, women, everyone, because that makes the world a better place.
Yeah.
If you engage with the world in a way when you feel really great, that impacts everyone you encounter over the course of your day.
That's really powerful. And that's one of the things I also love about Cap Beauty, which is like, you know, I happen to love the Cap Beauty products, but it's more about the lifestyle that you are sharing with everyone.
Yeah.
You don't even have to buy coconut butter, you know, for example, to feel well.
No, just read our blog or come to a free event at the store.
Yeah. We talk about that a lot because, of course, there's that question, wellness, the elitism, the divisiveness, the I don't have the money, I don't look this way, I'm not this, I'm not that. And we think that's kind of bullshit because we truly think everyone has access to this. Do they have access to our products in our store? No. But do they have access to the ability to sit down for 2 minutes and still their mind? Everyone has access to that, and that's something that I think has more profound benefits than the use of a $300 serum over time.
Right.
Yeah. So
cool.
That conversation about it's not accessible kind of gets me like fired up because I think it is accessible.
Yeah.
I think the treatments, the products, all that stuff, no, they're not. But the actual like sitting with yourself and being kind to yourself and cooking yourself a meal that's inexpensive, that's just from vegetables, that's everyone has that.
Right.
I hope.
And let's talk a little bit more about that. And this is going to be a difficult question, but I think it is really important for us to talk about this. So, you know, I definitely have gone through my own journey with wellness, with body image issues, as I think probably most women and men have, right? And, you know, I've seen through friends, through myself, the fallout from a culture that is decidedly fat phobic. I mean, we are flooded with images of women and, you know, they are all a certain size, almost, you know, almost across the board, right? So how can wellness companies use their platform to spread the message of true body positivity and not a perpetuation of harmful diet culture and fat shaming?
I think the important thing is to encourage and to seek a state of liberation. And I think that that is all about really helping give people the tools to look inside and know for themselves what's right for them. My own, I mean, like every other woman, I've gone through my own body changing, body shifting, body perception, image, you know, all of it. And it was really not until I kind of turned off all the noise and focused on what I've always probably known but didn't acknowledge was my right way of being. And I think that there's so much liberation in that, and it's a hard place to get to, but it's also really, I think one of the difficult things is that there is so much conflicting information, and, you know, I don't have the answer for, like, how do we all get over our body issues, but the more that you can find a way of living and a way of eating that you know, not just think or not just listen to, and try to believe is right for you, the closer you'll come to feeling good in your body.
Yeah, I think getting in there and really like assessing, and I'm going to reference friends of ours, Donna James, who wrote The Archetype Diet, and our friend Lacey Phillips, who's a manifestation guide. I can't remember the word. But it's really like where are those feelings coming from? Where is your self-worth coming from? Like beyond the like literal day-to-day of what do I need to eat? We all know how to lose weight. I think that's pretty standardized at this point. Are we all doing it? No, we're not all doing it. So there's something amiss in that equation. And I think those two women have taught me and encouraged me to get to like, what is the root cause? Like what is the self-worth there that's stopping you from getting to this place that you want to be? And I don't think everybody wants to be in the same place. And I think that's another big question, is actually listening to yourself and deciding what makes sense for you. What's right for Cindy may not be right for me. What's right for me may not be right for Cindy. And I think that having enough, we talk about this a lot at CAP in regards to skincare, where, you know, we know a lot about skin. Our estheticians know everything about skin. But at the end of the day, the person who's living in that skin knows the most about it. And we want our customers and our clients to be empowered people who have the ability to make a decision that can prompt change.
Yeah.
We don't know. Like Cindy said, like, there's so many theories. There's so many advisors. Mm-hmm. You need to find what it is that you want and then figure out, I think, what's stopping you from getting there. Because there's something deep. I mean, I know this from myself. It's, I think every person has it. Like, it's not, for me, it's not just a calorie in, calorie out conversation. Like, there's a million diet books at Barnes & Noble right now that if that were the case, nobody would be a shape that they don't want to be. So it's a much deeper conversation with yourself to have, I think, to find that place of balance. And what is that place of balance for that person?
Yeah. And you were talking about representation. And I think I am seeing a shift. I mean, I'm definitely seeing a lot more images of, and a lot more, you see a lot more of it on social media of people with not your classic, you know, 5'9", size 2 body.
Yeah.
That are gaining more attention and more fans and followers. And even on like mainstream clothing websites, there's more larger women as models. And that's all good that, you know, all of that is out there representing. I think, you know, it boils down to representation. But I also think that every person has the access to feeling healthy, and that can come at any size and at any, and, you know, I do believe that my personal belief is that movement is vital. Eating whole healthy foods is vital. That doesn't mean you have to be a size 2. It does mean that, you know, if there's things that are physically hurting you, you're probably not in your healthiest state.
Yeah.
And I think if that means losing some weight, if that means embracing a healthier lifestyle, you will find liberation in that. And that doesn't mean that you can't love yourself at any size. It just means that if you're tolerating pain, discomfort,
I think,
you know, that you shouldn't go through life like that. You don't have to. And I think that, like what Carrie Lim was saying about her skin and the doctor saying, oh, you just didn't win the skin lottery. Or if you have horrible PMS and your gynecologist says, yeah, you're just not lucky, you get really bad cramps. Maybe there is a physical cure, and it might not come from a pill. It might come from a yoga practice or a different diet. And those possibilities are out there, and that it's important also for women to know that those can be found and that you can liberate yourself from tolerations.
And moving away from just what is the physical form, like how do you feel?
Yeah.
I think that's a much bigger conversation. Like, it's not an easy one to address because I have no idea how other people feel, but it's easier to just look at the photo of the woman and think, oh, she's healthy.
Right.
We have no idea.
You don't know what's going on under the hood.
There's plenty of skinny women walking around who aren't healthy skinny men walking around who aren't healthy. And that, you know, and I think if anything, I mean, one thing we've noticed is that those of us who have always fought 5 or 10 pounds are probably deeper into health than somebody who's been skinny her whole life because she hasn't needed to seek it out.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, those practices are what give us confidence and empowerment.
I love a lot of those kind of nuggets. I mean, I think, you know, we're very into the mantra of like health at any size, and it doesn't matter. And, you know, for the wellness space, you know, we talk a lot about how the shift needs to be away from losing weight and more towards like exactly what y'all are saying, which is like releasing the inner light and just feeling good. And if something is hurting you, addressing it and figuring out how to make changes. Right.
Totally. Because there's also something really empowering about we have so much access to so much information. As we said, that can be really confusing. But there's also solutions to most physical problems that most of us just live with. I'm not talking about chronic disease, but tolerations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sleeplessness, back pain, all of these little things that kind of eat away at our quality of life.
Right. And I will say also that I think just from my learning about the body positivity movement and as it relates to wellness is like, you know, even if there are people out there who may or may not, you know, enjoy what they're eating or their health or, you know, it's kind of up to us to just have the empathy to say that it doesn't matter what journey you're on, you are worthy and we respect
right.
you
right.
and you're welcome in our space, yeah. right?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's at a different place. That's
yeah,
the other totally. Thing. It's like, I think that for me, I think is the biggest thing about wellness is like, I think it's creating this concept of we're all at a starting line and we're all going to a finish line. And that's just not true.
No.
Like, I'm at a different place than you. You're at a yeah. different place than me. By default, there's no way for us to be at the same place. So
there's
like a real beauty in that. Like,
yeah.
you know, we have that all the time at CAP. People walk in the store. Some of them are super, super educated about all the products.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are totally new. And so that's the same with food.
Yeah.
It's like, I eat really differently than I ate 4 years ago. I thought I was eating really a certain way 4 years ago. I eat really differently now. It's like this really beautiful progression. And I feel like if you can find an interest in that, then it becomes less about that destination. It's not a destination. It's
right.
really literally the practices every day.
And the dogma has to go away.
I think
there's so many people who stake so much of their identity in being vegan or being paleo or whatever
like no
their concept is. Kind of no one cares.
Literally no one cares.
Yeah. And I think that you really have to, you know, as I said before, like you really have to look inside and know what's right.
Yeah. I don't mean no one cares. I mean, you can be healthy and that can be a light and an inception point for somebody else.
Yeah.
But like talking about it without the encouragement of talking about it, I feel like that's just ostracizing on all levels. And like,
totally.
We try really hard not to do that at CAP. We try really hard not to do that in our personal life. Like, it's just not that interesting unless that person has a curiosity, then great. Then share. But like, until then, you don't need to.
Right. Okay, cool. So we're gonna end our interview section on a positive note. Just one more question.
Yeah.
It could be a couple sentences or whatever you'd like. So like we've mentioned at Pineapple, we know that as women, many of us have had these complex relationships with the food around us. And like I mentioned, we know that compassion, acceptance, empathy, no matter what size you are or what journey you're on, is the key to building a really strong community around food and women. So what can we all do collectively to embrace ourselves and others around food and wellness?
Don't judge.
Yeah.
Do what you know. Look inside, figure out what's right for you, and don't preach it. If anyone asks, tell them anything you want to tell them.
Yeah.
But live your life, stand in the light, let other people figure it out.
Yeah.
And accept any other way of being.
Yeah.
I love that. Cool. Well, I think that really encompassed a lot of what we talked about. We are very grateful to have talked to Carrie Lynn and Cindy about light and wellness and their business, which we love and are very excited to learn more about. We have an event with them tonight. And you can follow along on our stories, which we're very excited about here in DC. Before we sign off, we're going to do a quick spitfire round. So I'm going to ask each of you a question. If you could just say the first thing that comes to your mind, just one sentence, if you can. So my first question is a woman you pine for in food. We'll start with Carrie Lynn.
I love Camille Becerra. I love her approach to aesthetics and food and just
amazing.
Her style that she brings to the table.
Shout out to Camille.
We love you, Camille.
We love you, Camille.
And who is Camille, just for our audience?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
She's a really amazing woman. I actually want to add another person in there, but she's an amazing woman, restaurateur, chef. She's really like does everything. I actually don't know she's very beyond a multi-hyphenate. How would you describe her?
Like that.
That's good. Yeah.
I also want to shout out to my friend Kat Turner, who's another amazing woman in food, and she's the chef at a new restaurant in LA called Highly Likely. And she is a genius and just like a really rad person to be around and makes gorgeous, gorgeous food.
Awesome. And LA listeners, go to Highly Likely.
It's so good.
Cindy?
I'm going to say my sister-in-law, Dana, who is repopulating the bee population in the Catskills.
Yes.
She personally is right now managing 2 million bees.
Wow. So
she's gotten all sorts of people to adopt hives, and she travels with them and loans them to different farms. And
so great.
This is all just a project.
So great.
A very important one.
Amazing.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
And she has a BSA, and if you want to support, I think her blog is The Pitchfork.
The Pitchfork, yeah.
Not the music one. It's thepitchfork.net, I think.
That would be great.
It's her Catskills blog. And
yeah, it's great.
Cool.
She's rad.
She's super inspiring.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Awesome. So your go-to fridge and pantry items. That's two items.
Two items.
Carrie Lynn.
So I would say the coconut butter in my pantry and in my fridge. Does this have to be woman owned?
It would be nice.
Okay, let me think for a sec. There's a really amazing hot sauce company I love, but it's a couple.
That's okay.
But one half is a woman. It's called Burn Hot Sauce, and it's fermented hot sauces that I think are made in Santa Cruz, and they're so delicious. Really delicious.
Yeah. Mine are lemons. I sometimes don't keep them in the fridge, but once they're cut, they go in the fridge. And salt.
Yeah.
Pink Himalayan salt. We have a great one at Cap.
So good.
But those two things go on everything.
Yeah.
Cool. Your all-time favorite way to feel whole and well? So it can be a routine or something that just restores you.
I think movement, meditation, which I've kind of fallen off of lately, but I'm going to put it up on here so I'm more accountable. And I'm trying to incorporate more sleep.
Beautiful.
I'm not so good at that.
Cindy?
I would say green juice, colonics, and sweating.
Cool. All right, last question. Where can our audience find you and Cat Beauty? So it can be in real life, online.
Catbeauty.com, and then Cat Beauty Daily is our Instagram and our Twitter and our Facebook, maybe?
Yeah.
Yep.
And we have a store in L.A. and one in New York.
Yeah, we're in the new Fred Siegel in L.A. on Sunset and La Cienega. And then I have a personal Instagram, which is Carrie Lynn Paymer. And
awesome.
Cindy has Cindy DePrima.
It's just Cindy DePrima.
Yeah.
Cool. And well, yeah. Go and check out Cat Beauty. Subscribe to their newsletter, which we love receiving. Go and visit their shop and support their business, please. If you are in D.C., hopefully we'll see you tonight at our event with Cindy and Carrie Lynn and Mandy from La Cultura Club. And if you're not, follow along on stories. If you're listening in New York, we have an awesome event coming up on August 7th. It's all about women and beer.
Wow,
if you're like me, you don't drink beer because I don't like beer. But I have a very renewed appreciation for beer because it is a fantastic agricultural product. There's so many women who are doing really innovative things with beer, grains, and waste. There's going to be amazing food, amazing community. Please join us. You can find tickets at pineapplecollaborative.com. And yeah, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week talking to Abby Fuller all about film and farming. She is the only woman director of the Chef's Table on Netflix, and she's amazing. So tune in then. And it was great being with you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.